My second book was a book titled Back to the Family. I did it in conjunction with Akron Children's Hospital. A friend of mine, David Icke, orchestrated. He had an idea. He was vice president of marketing in the hospital. He had an idea that he was going to ask National State Teachers of the Year in all 50 states, can you describe some very strong families that you have come across in your years of teaching? And obviously, to be a State Teacher of the Year, you have to love the profession. You have to be pretty much involved in it. So he figured they were pretty good identifiers of some solid families. And it turned out very much so. These families had so many admirable characteristics in their family life. And the book more or less taps into some of their ideas regarding discipline, regarding communication, regarding religion, regarding marriage, all stuff. It was a kind of a broad range look at parenting. And wherever possible, we interviewed the kids. Some of the kids were pretty insightful. The older ones, say maybe 13, 14 on up. We asked the kids at one point, this was under the communication chapter, I think it was, what do your parents do that most bothers you, that most frustrates you? Keep in mind, these were not families that were pathological by any stretch. We didn't hear, oh, I just hate when the cops come here before breakfast. Oh, my mom, she hurt her arm, so she can't really throw plates at my dad like she used to. She has to throw with her left arm, and sometimes she misses. We didn't hear anything like that. You know what we did hear? It's going to come as no surprise to those of you who have teenagers. Lectures. They didn't like lectures. Now, what is a lecture? We grown-ups have a very broad-based definition of lecture. To us, a lecture is anything that, say, goes on for more than 24 minutes or is repetitive 6 to 8 times. Then we're getting into lecture turf. The kids, a lecture is anything that is a compound sentence that is more than 7 words. That begins with, you know, young lady, when I was your age, we're going to have a little talk about this, young man. Now, am I saying don't lecture? Of course not. Of course not. I'm a parent. It's part of the passage, being a parent. But I think there's a certain desperation to lectures that can creep in. We so much want the kids to understand why we do what we do. The reasoning behind our Neanderthal decisions as they see it. So we explain. Now, we want to get through. And maybe one explanation from one angle isn't enough. So we try different angles. And we recall our own childhood. And we draw moral parallels. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, but it does follow the law of diminishing returns. There comes a point in that lecture, usually somewhere around the 90-second mark, where they're blanking out, or they're thinking, and you can see it in their eyes, lecture number 602, when I was your age, I was grateful for what little I had. You see it. And part of the reason we go on is because we think we're not being understood. They're not getting this. Or maybe it's a unique piece of misconduct. It's not something they routinely do. Kind of comes from left field. So you figure, all right, we better talk about this. And again, do not mishear me. I am not saying as a parent, you don't talk about these things. What I'm saying is, and especially if this is stuff that is recurrent. For example, he has a tendency to belittle his little sister. She's 11, he's 14. And he takes every chance to poke at her. Now, you've talked about this with him, and you hold him accountable for doing this, but you feel compelled every so often to launch into a lecture again on why this isn't good. Lecture 1 and 2 made yourself heard. Lecture 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 is fading. He's enduring it. I wouldn't go so far as to say you're wasting your breath, but it's close. It's very close. And I know this would be hard to believe, but I don't really like wasted words.
Well, then, Dr. Ray, you shouldn't have your radio show.
Okay, easy. Lectures come out of the need, the desperate need to make sure they absorb our moral lesson, our social lesson, what we're trying to teach, so that when they're 23, they don't have to learn the hard way. And I got that part. I truly do. But at some point, you keep it short and sweet. You make your case. I'm not letting you go to the mall because you're 13 years old. It's unsupervised. And I know that your friend Snake is allowed to go along with his brother Conan, but I just don't think it's smart. Now, you've explained it. When they try to get you to prolong your lecture, it's not that they want to hear more reasons so that they can finally say, well, Mother, thank you. You know, had you stopped explaining this to me at the 24-minute mark, I don't think I really would have understood. But because you kept on for another 18 minutes after that, I saw the light so clear to me now. Pick and choose your lectures. If you've been over the same subject many times, a good rule of thumb is make each ensuing lecture a little shorter. Watch out for the cues that they're glazing over. It's a deer, and your headlights are on bright. You're not getting there. And in fact, this is one thing you might want to ponder. Are you actually losing ground? The more lectures, probably the less likely the lectures are absorbed.